The gospel is Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 33. And why do we worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of the Lord.
Well, to be honest, preaching your final sermon after all these years is a challenging thing. I remember Pastor Steve saying that as well, because here's your chance to say goodbye and to try to kind of summarize what it all means. And how do you do that? How do you summarize so many memories of wonderful ministry and so many wonderful friendships here? And of course, I know you can't do that completely, but nevertheless, over the last few weeks, I've been pondering, you know, what should the last message I give be? And as I've been thinking about it over and over, maybe I think two themes have come to me over and over. And these two themes, they're not brilliant ones. I think they're just the normal ones that make sense, but maybe the right ones. Those two are thank you and don't worry. And those are basically the two thoughts I want to share in my sermon today. So I hope you like those themes. Thank you and don't worry. And I'll start with thank you. And I do want to thank you because you have all in this church has been such a tremendous blessing to me and my family. As many of you probably know, this has been my first call as a pastor. And when you take a pastor in their first call, that means that in many ways you're teaching them to do ministry. And you have been such wonderful teachers to me, so positive. You've encouraged me. You've praised me, sometimes I think more than I deserve. You've let me try new ideas like beers and hymns and lightsabers during sermons. You've responded with energy and excitement to new opportunities to ministry. You've let me take kids to Mexico. You've let me conduct peanut butter drives. You've been patient with me when I've made mistakes, like setting the goal at 5,000 jars. And what a privilege it's been to walk with you in these life's journeys and to hear your stories and sometimes to be part of your stories. And some of these stories come to mind. If you read my newsletter, I shared some of these, but I want to share them here today again. One of the things I think about is building houses in Mexico a number of years ago, a mission trip with our youths, and an amazing trip, a wonderful trip. I remember we got there, and the way they do it, you pay for all the materials, and you show up, and they're all sitting there, and we were with a group who had done it before, and I'm like, okay, where's the blueprint? And he's like, well, I'll tell you how to build it, and he sat me down with a piece of paper, and he said, here, just started saying, you cut this long, and you stick it on here, and blah, 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 and it just seemed crazy. How are we going to build a house from this pastor with no construction training based on a piece of paper and a few instructions? And amazingly, it came together in a beautiful little house. So wonderful ministries like that and other youth trips and teaching confirmation. I think about our wonderful staff and our wonderful lay leadership, whether it's been coming into work in our office and being with the staff I work with or going to council meetings, they've always been joyous. It's always been a happy thing to go to work because, you know, I'm around people who are so eager to do God's mission. And that's really been the focus when I'm around people here. So what a blessing that's been. I think about what a blessing it can be to visit people, visit our older members sometimes, hearing these amazing stories. And it's amazing in 2000 whatever, some of these people I'd visit, the stories you'd hear and the different era you'd hear about. I remember hearing stories from one older lady about her mother driving a Model T through the prairie. And another one shared stories of being behind enemy lines during World War II and having to find his way back to the Allies after having his ship shot down. So just these amazing stories that I got to hear. I think about sitting with families in moments of tragedy, not fun moments, but a privilege nonetheless to pray with people and be with people and to search for God's life and light in moments of darkness. I think about really fun times of song and fellowship at Beer and Hymns, where kind of fun moments became holy moments. I think about the outreach we've done together, the mission trips, the banquet, the food drive, through financial support of different causes and prayers and worship, just so many things. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart for the blessing of being who you are and for inviting me and my family to walk alongside you during this time. And so that's the first thing. Thank you. And again, the other thought that kept coming to my mind was this message of don't worry. And I suppose the reason for this is that times of great change are often the moments when we most are tempted to worry. And certainly changes are happening for my family as we're about to move to New Mexico. And I know that many changes are happening in the life of Trinity as well. And so I wanted to spend the rest of my time here just pondering Jesus' words of do not worry that we heard today. You know, this section we heard in our gospel is one of my favorite sections from Jesus because it's both undoubtedly wise and life-giving, but also kind of puzzling advice. Because, you know, there are some things in life that normally you can't just tell people not to do or not to focus on. You know, sometimes trying to do this can even have the opposite effect. You know, for example, if I say, don't think of an elephant, what are you all thinking of, right? You're thinking of an elephant. Or if I say, don't notice the little Luther action figure that I put underneath one of the flowers, you know, you're probably going to notice it eventually. That kind of thing doesn't usually work. And in the same way, it doesn't normally work to just tell someone not to worry. In fact, it might even make them more anxious. There was kind of a funny example, I mean, kind of tragic in one way, but funny in another recently in the news, where our nation's Treasury Secretary was apparently worried that investors were worrying about the economy, and so he called all the biggest bankers and asked them, is everything okay? And they said, everything's okay. He wrote a letter to the banking system and to the stock market basically saying, don't worry, everything's fine, the economy's great, and the next day the stock market plummeted 650 points. Now, I sympathize with people who lost money, probably I did too, though there's not much to lose. But, you know, it's almost comedic to do that kind of thing because it doesn't work to, like, tell people, don't worry, there's nothing to worry about. You especially can't tell worriers not to worry. I've tried this with my mom most of my life, and it definitely doesn't work. And yet today we have Jesus coming to us and saying, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worries for itself. Now, really, probably all of us would like to live by this mantra. It's not that it's a bad one. I mean, who doesn't want to kind of feel relaxed and confident all the time? Who doesn't want to sort of be a Jimmy Buffett-like person, just sipping drinks on the beach and not having a care in the world? Nevertheless, this idea does kind of seem like, you know, something beyond us to just be able to turn off our worries at the drop of a hat. But the funny thing is, this kind of message is not just in today's passage. It actually runs through Scripture, this encouragement to do not be afraid, do not worry. In Philippians 4, St. Paul writes something very similar. He says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what's going on with this do not worry stuff? Does God expect us to be able to just shut off our emotions, you know, as like a light switch? Does God expect the impossible of us? Well, here's my take on what I think Jesus means by this. I don't think God's point is that we would be able to 100% stop feeling an immediate emotion like worry, whether that be, you know, fear or worry or whatever. In fact, I think life in this world with zero worries is a true impossibility. It's not going to be possible or even preferable. A little bit of fear, a little bit of worry about certain things in the right place is actually a positive thing. For instance, you know, I'm a parent, and any good parent should worry about their little kids when they're crossing the street, right? That they do it safely. That's a positive kind of worry. And we all, you know, as we think of kids, we want children to develop healthy senses of fear and worry about certain things, you know, like ovens and outlets and things like that. So worry and fear actually can have their proper place. But I think what Jesus is discussing here isn't so much an immediate emotion, but it's rather an overarching outlook. What Jesus is warning against isn't the issue of ever worrying, but rather the issue of one's life becoming captive by worry and fear. Having one's life be just totally dominated by fears of what ifs. What if this happens? What if this? What if it doesn't work out? Because when fear and worry become the guiding forces in our lives, they become destructive forces in our lives. When these things take over, they freeze us up and they begin to steal our joy and our purpose in life. And it's so true if we look around that fear and worry are often why we hurt each other and why we hate each other. I mean, wars are fought over fear and worry. And worry is often why we freeze up and we don't take that chance that we know we probably should, and we don't live the lives we're meant to live. What Jesus teaches us is that even though some fear and worry are inevitable, we don't have to give them ultimate control. And we don't have to give them control because we have a God who's out there and who loves us. And because God loves us, we don't have to worry nearly so much. Because really, what Jesus says is that all the most important things, all the most vital things, all the biggest stuff in life, God has already taken care of. Your purpose, your value as a human being, your forgiveness in the eyes of God, your life here now, and your life in the age to come, all the biggest stuff, these things are already yours because Christ has given them to you. And so even though life can be tough sometimes, and even though at times we may be faced with loss and pain and scary stuff, we know that God has a plan for us, for me, for you, and for this church. And today Jesus reminds us that God's ultimate plan is never to hurt us or abandon us. God's plan is to take care of us and to work in us and to work through us. I've shared this before, but you know, I've been here 6.5 years, and even 7 years ago, I would have never guessed that God would have called this Californian to do ministry in North Dakota. It was not on my radar. In fact, as I shared in the past, when I first heard this idea from my supervisors, I told them they were crazy if they thought this was a good idea. I did not heed Jesus's do not worry advice. And yet here we are, and for me at least, it's been an incredible life-enriching journey. And so thanks to God for leading me on this journey, just as God also leads each of you and your families. And again, thanks to each of you for letting me and my family walk alongside you over these years. And as you meet the journey ahead as individuals and as a church, just remember, don't worry. Everything you really need, you already have from God. And that makes all the difference. And so may Christ bless your path this day and always. Amen.